So guys, if you guys are into a personal branding, this is the episode for you. I have Monica Rivera here. She is absolutely awesome. She drops so much wisdom and so many great tools and tips and strategies. Oh my God. So if you are someone who is a solopreneur or you're building something or you need some personal branding and you don't know where to turn to and what to do, this is the episode for you. So don't miss it. All right, y'all. I'm going to go ahead and shut up so you go and check it out. See you there. What's up, party people? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. You're going to have to like stop the glare because my glasses are broken everywhere. So I had to wear these glasses. But I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me today. You know, I love you guys so much because every time I go and I speak to my coach and they're looking at my numbers, they're like, you know that you're over like 110,000 downloads or something like that. And like you are like ranking at like 1.5% of podcasts to listen to. I cannot do that without you though. So I want to thank you for joining us and always being here because you guys are thebomb.com. Okay. So I wanted to introduce you to an amazing human being. I already fell in love with her, so I know you guys are going to fall in love with her. And I'm really glad to introduce you to Monica M. Rivera. She's not just a speaker and a podcaster, but a powerhouse in personal branding and storytelling. Now, she's the founder of You Want to Do What? You want to do what? Okay. Where she realizes and she specializes in strategic self-marketing. With over 20 years of corporate marketing experience, Monica empowers experienced professionals, founders, and solopreneurs to build impactful personal brands. Now, I know a lot of you guys who are always like DMing me and talking to me and telling me how much you love my guests. This is like your person, right? This is your person because a lot of you are professional CEOs, solopreneurs, all of that. So listen up, y'all. Okay. Pay attention because Monica is going to be here to deliver for you today. Okay. Now she talks in prestigious platforms such as New York Times, TEDx, Podcast Movement, Time Magazine. Hello, hello, hello. Okay. So I love her energy and who she is. And I want to welcome you to the show. Thank you for being here with us, Monica. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. I am a little hot, to be honest. It is, we're recording in the summertime, and in New York City, it is pretty damn hot. I will say that.
Girl, I know. I'm in Texas. Okay. I know the heat. And I'm like, and I'm 52, so I'm constantly with the hot flashes. Listen here, Monica. Listen here, okay? It's like, what is it outside? Oh, it's like 90 degrees. It's not too bad in Texas. Anywho. I'm so glad you're here. Listen, I have an amazing audience and the people that you're speaking to are actually your people. They're like in what you do in your niche. And what I love is that the people that listen to the show are constantly commenting on like the great people that are on the show and how they follow them. And a couple of times they've worked with some of the people on the show. So that's amazing. So Monica, before I get started, I do like to get to know you better and have the people get to know you. So my first question off the bat is who are you, Monica? Who are you?
Oh, I love it. A big existential question off the rip. I love it. So I am so many things. I am a Titi. That's like the first title that I hold the most. My niece is 6.5, and that's the most favorite thing anybody could call me. I am a business owner. I'm a personal brand strategist and speaker. I'm a podcaster. I'm a best friend. I'm a Latina. I'm a Puerto Rican y Cubana. Yeah. I'm a loyal person. I'm a friend. It's like all of those things rolled into one. And it really makes me who I am. And on any given day, I show up completely as myself, representing all those things, but always the first as a Titi.
I love that. You know what I love the most too? It's like everybody answers that question differently, right? And you did the mixture of blends of who you are and what you do and how that all kind of encompasses who you are, right? And so, you know, a lot of times, you know, people just go straight for what they do, you know, and not who they are. And I love that you did that. And I love that you're a Titi. That's awesome. I'm a Titi too. I'm a grandma now. And I just love it so much. It's so good to be a part of a child's life and be an influential part, right? Where we can help them to develop into the human that they're going to be. It's just awesome. It's freaking awesome.
I love her so much. She's my best friend. She's just like an amazing human being. And I'm very lucky. I tell her all the time, I'm very lucky to be your Titi.
That's so fun. Yeah. And at 6 years old, they're so much fun. Oh my
they
gosh.
Are.
The things that come out of their mouth, girl. Oh God, I love it. I teach kids how to cook. In fact, right before me and you got on, I had just gotten home from teaching 12 children. So every summer, I love taking my skills. I'm a chef by trade, and I go and I teach summer camps for kids to teach them how to cook.
That's
it's
incredible.
So much fun. Yeah, it's really, really a good time.
I wish we were closer. My niece would love that because on her mini list of what she wants to be when she grows up, she wants to be a chef. And so she could benefit from you.
That's so good. Yeah, I had a company called The Kitty Kitchen where I taught kids how to cook at a university level. So even though they were little, like 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, I would always teach them, you know, what we do at the restaurant. So it was always super fun for them to learn. But enough about that, Ms. Monica, right? You got a lot going on. So tell me about why are you doing what you're doing? Like, what got you into this, right? Is this something that you were always on the trajectory to do? Or did you just have a moment where you were like, I don't want to work for people no more. I'm going to go ahead and start doing my thing. Or what was that for you?
So it's interesting because as a child, I always, very much like my niece, had a million things that I wanted to be when I grew up. And I wanted to be a basketball player. I wanted to be the first Latina Supreme Court justice. I wanted to be a hairdresser. I wanted to be a lawyer. I had all of these things that I wanted to do at exactly the same time. But I also had this creativity. I loved writing. I loved just creating. And so I was never really artistic, but I always loved writing. I appreciated songwriting and lyrics and those types of things. And I grew up, you know, first gen household where my mom said, you're not going to be a writer. You're not going to make any money doing that. Just choose the very stable career. And so all of those creative things that I had, I just learned, well, I'll keep those for me. And when it comes to making money, I'll do something else. And naturally, I'm a very rebellious person, but what happened, unfortunately, is when I turned 16, very shortly after that, my mom passed away. Mm-hmm. And within 7 years, I lost my biological family through a variety of different things. And so that learning that I had from as a child, which was to choose the safe job, to not rock the boat, to just get a stable check, that actually ended up serving me really well because I found myself on my own as a teenager, figuring out how to navigate life. So I made career decisions based off of survival, which was what is going to get me paid because there's no couch to sleep on. There's no parents' house to go home to, like all of those things. So I had to be very pragmatic at a really early age, which was no fun at all. But you have to do what you have to do to survive. And that's just the way that it is. And so I was very strategic about choosing my career. I was an economics major. I had a bunch of internships throughout college. I worked different roles to understand like what was it that I liked versus what I didn't like. Mm-hmm. And I always loved marketing, and that was what I was called to do. And so I, you know, fresh out of college, I already had a job lined up before I had even graduated of where I was going to go. And so I started the career and went up the corporate ladder and did all of that and reached a rung on the corporate ladder where I just didn't love the view. I thought, this is cool, but it's not really what I see myself doing forever. And it wasn't, it was because at that point, there were so many reorgs in the corporation I had been in at the time that I was no longer doing marketing. I kept getting moved to a different group. And it's a resource thing. Like you working in a big corporation, you really learn that you are a headcount. Mm-hmm. You're not so much a person, you are a headcount. And when the organization changes, you're a headcount that moves to this new department. And what had happened, Nina, is I started to feel almost like, am I not good at my job anymore? And started doubting my own abilities without really realizing that it's not my abilities, it's that there's all these reorgs that have happened. And I didn't sign up to be in this role, but here I am in this completely different area of the business, not loving what I'm doing because it's not my expertise. And so it's a very long way to say that at that point, I started to pull back and say, well, am I still in survival mode? Do I still need to make the same choices that I've been making my entire life? And the answer was no. But I don't know about you. We tend to operate the way that we think that we need to operate. And it's almost like embedded in our system that we have to take that pause to ask ourselves the question, am I still in the same place as I was, or am I just mentally in that same place? Mm-hmm. And for me, I was mentally in the same place. And so about 7 years ago, Instead, I'm going to start a podcast and do something totally different. The closest I had come to a mic was karaoke. So I was like, I'm a listener, but I don't know shit about this.
I love it.
I was like, let's just give it a shot. And my only goal was I'm going to show up every single week. And I knew that every week I would just incrementally get better. And so that's really the beginning of my journey. And I eventually came back to marketing because, again, I always loved it. I just wanted to take all of the learnings that I had from 20 years of working in corporate, and how can I teach that to people who are starting their own businesses? How can I teach that to people who are startup founders that are so into the technical parts of their business that they don't really know how to market themselves? Mm-hmm. And also corporate leaders that don't have the luxury or even the desire to make a switch into entrepreneurship. How can I help them get further ahead in their career, get their next promotion, get noticed at work? And so that's a lot of the stuff that I do for people.
Yeah, no, I love that, right? Because what you're doing is what I call wisdom to wealth, right? You're using your wisdom mm-hmm. for your wealth and the wealth of others, right? That's what my coaching program is called. Like I do the same thing. It's funny because as you're speaking, I'm like, wow, we're really kindred spirits. I literally went through the same thing, like the reorganization and all that kind of stuff. And then feeling like, what am I? It's just... imposter syndrome comes in. Are you smart enough? Can you actually do this? What is going on? Did I forget everything I've learned? Like that kind of stuff, right? Like you, it's a real thing. This happens, right? And I think that, you know, more and more people are feeling kind of disconnected with what they're doing and disconnected with who they are because of the reorgs are happening a lot, Monica, like a lot, right? And more now than ever. And I don't know if it's because of, you know, the pool of people being so small and businesses have to do what they got to do. And I don't blame them, but it's just when you are in it, you kind of feel like, wait, I've been doing this career for 15 something years and damn good at it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So how is it that I feel a little bit like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing?
Right, exactly. Right? How do I feel like a newbie again? And I think it's an excellent point that you make. It's like, I understand that we're in a capitalistic society. So I get the rules. I'm an economics major. I completely get it. Right. But at the same time, I also get it at a human level, not just at the corporate economic level, but as a human level, it feels like you are handcuffed. You're doing this role that you may not love anymore, that might feel repetitive. But you also have bills to pay and you need benefits. Right. And there's real life things happening concurrently while you're also thinking, I don't want to do this shit anymore. But there doesn't feel like there's other options, right? And so it's this position of I wake up every day and I go and I ask, you know, Karen how she's doing, ask Bob how he's doing. And I don't really care about any of it. But at the end of the day, I know I need to just make this happen for myself. And I completely empathize with how frustrating and also soul sucking that can be.
Yeah. You know what? And I bet you as you're saying that, everybody's shaking like, because that is, I mean, you're just speaking truth. That is just the truth. And that is real. And that is exactly how I started to feel. But you know what, Monica, then we're disingenuous with ourselves and we're disingenuous with our career or the boss or whatever, because we don't even freaking want to be there. You know what I mean? And, and let's be real. You're not going to put up 100% of your effort if you don't want to be there. That's just real. You know, I realized towards the last like couple of weeks of my job, I was like, I don't want to do this shit. I just don't want to do it. And I was showing up, of course, I have to. Right. I was showing up more integrity because I have a lot of integrity and I believe in showing up. But I know I wasn't showing up at 1,000% like I normally do because I didn't care. Right. I love that you're doing that. So then you decided to take all of your knowledge, bring that wisdom to make wealth, right? And to shift the perspective of others. And what are you finding now when you're out here, like getting your clients and what is it? What's the kind of common theme that you're finding?
So it's interesting because people, and I'm wondering if you have this experience as well, people go in wanting the strategy. And I can talk strategy all day long. I love strategy. But really what they need and what's revealed later is the mindset work.
Yes.
Because what happens 100%. When you're in a role, and this can be whether you're in corporate, whether you're on your own in your business, the mind can either be a beautiful garden or it can be a terrible prison. It depends on the kind of thoughts that you're generating. And so what I find is a lot of people struggle with a couple of areas. One, they struggle with that visibility. They know they want to change, but in order to get that change, it does require a level of visibility. Now, I'm not suggesting like the dancing on TikTok visibility, although if you want to do that, that's fine. But my clients tend, that's not really their thing. It's about, well, how do I show up beyond this corporate title, because those titles, there's, it's a thing, and it's embedded in people. When you ask the question of like, who are you? And when people lead with their titles, it's because it's so ingrained that it's my name and then it's what I do. And so that identity is such a stronghold on people that now, how am I going to be visible as me? I don't even know what that looks like. Right. And so that is a big issue for first of all, for us to confront. The second thing that I notice is that people don't have the vision. So I use this analogy all the time. If I gave you the keys to the car and I say, here, take the car, you would ask like, well, where am I going? And I'd be like, just get in the car, just go wherever you want to go. And that's kind of what I liken it to when you don't have a vision. It's like giving you keys to the car and you could make what, three left turns and end up right back in the same spot. You could end up where, in maybe California, North Carolina, who knows where you end up. But if I tell you, here, take the keys to the car and drive to, I don't know, Pupito's restaurant in City Island or something as an example, like now I know where I'm going.
Right.
And what I notice for people is because we're so focused on having to pay the bills or thinking about, you know, how we're going to pay for family vacation or what's just the next day look like or the next week look like, that we don't spend time really thinking about what is the vision that I want for my life, for my business, for my career. And when I work with people, I want us to talk about that vision. And it can be uncomfortable because maybe they haven't asked themselves that in a long time, or maybe no one else has asked them that question. And they really have to sit in that discomfort of like, yeah, what do I want from my life? Because I believe you can get to wherever you want. We just have to establish the vision. And then what we do is we reverse engineer how to get there.
Yes, girl.
And that's the process that I use to work with my clients. But it can be uncomfortable. And I warned them in the beginning, it will be uncomfortable. This is totally normal. But just trust me and trust the process, because we're going to get to a place that's really beautiful.
Yeah. Oh my God. I freaking love that. And that's how I deal with my, my coaching clients as well. Cause what I say to them is listen, we have to find the destination. Once we get to the destination, we'll be, you know, well, I believe in God, right? So I always talk about God. And I'm like, God is your positioning system. So just get in the car and God will guide you left, turn right, turn left, turn right. You got this. You know what I'm saying? I said, the reason I'm there is to make sure that you're actually staying in the lane and going where it is you said you wanted to go and not veering off to a, you know, for that, the redirect, right?
Right.
The GPS has to redirect all the time. So, because sometimes, and this is another thing I warn my ladies about, and you probably do this with your clients, is stop the shiny object syndrome.
Because if
you're in this coaching program, let's do it. Right, Monica? Yes. Like if they're in your program, let's do it. Trust the process. Don't go, oh, squirrel. Squirrel. Oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
It is so hard to ring them back in. Like, wait. Yes. You
know? I completely understand. And I love that you mentioned God, because one of the Bible verses that I rely on the most is where there is no vision, the people will perish. Right. And that is so powerful to think about that. And that where there's no vision, the people will perish. I think that's true of relationships. I think that's true of friendships. I think that's true of your career. Without having the vision, I think that is what causes so much conflict and restlessness in people's soul, because they don't have the vision. So I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, 100%. Listen, I remember a long time ago when I was in nursing and I said to this patient, she was like in her 90s, late 90s. And I said, can I ask you a personal question? And she's like, sure. I said, if you have any regrets, anything at all, what would that be? She said, not living my life on my terms, but living it for others. She said, it's my biggest regret. I never did the things I wanted to do. Now she's 98, right? So where do you go from there, right? It's not like she can do some things, but can she do everything she always wanted to do? Probably not. And that's the thing, Monica. As me and you are talking, the seconds are going by and we are not getting those back, right? That's why it's important that I'm present with you right now, that I'm here with you right now, that I'm hearing you right now. And for those who are listening, same. Stop listening to something this important. Monica's giving you some great tools and tips here. And then you're like looking at the other thing and, oh, let me look at my Instagram. And guys, pay attention. You know yeah. what I'm saying?
No, you're 100%
like, it's
right.
Like just a second. Give yourself that moment. But Monica, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 52. And Generation X had this beautiful opportunity of being alive and here before technology and then being here after. Mm-hmm. And when we, and let me tell you, it was much simpler back then because we didn't have the thousand of distractions, right? So how are you keeping your clients focused and in line? What is it that you're doing to make sure that they are doing the steps they need to do?
So I hold the vision for them. So once we establish the vision, I feel part of my job and one of my biggest roles is to hold the vision so that they don't fall prey to the shiny object syndrome. Yeah. And I have clients that will send me a message and I'm like, what are you talking about? We just agreed on these things. We were working towards this. How did we get to this place? Like what happened in the past 48 hours? Mm-hmm. And so I'll just, you know, very calmly like, okay, talk me through how we got to this place, right? Because I want them to start understanding like their own minds, right? And understanding their thought process of getting someplace. And sometimes just by asking well-placed questions, like tell me how you got there, they'll start to say like, okay, and I'll remind them, okay, well, in this session, we were talking about moving to this area, and this is the thing that we were going to focus on. What made you decide to do this? And sometimes they'll very honestly say, oh, yeah, you're right. We did say we were going to talk about that. So again, it's like me reminding them of the vision for them.
That.
And it's like enough repetition. Like they just need to hear it. But I had like the best thing a client said to me. She told me 2 weeks. She said, before we started working together, I didn't know who I was. And now I know who I am in every area of my life.
Wow. Awesome.
And that's just like such an amazing feeling because although, yes, at its core, it's business coaching, right? It's personal brand, communications, messaging, all of those things. But really, business and life, they're intertwined. We don't separate and split into two halves to show up one place. It's all connected. So when you start to see things rolling and you get that momentum in one area, it's nearly impossible to not have it affect another one.
That's right. That's 100% right. And the way you show up for some things is pretty much the way you're showing up for everything. So, you know, and that's at work and at life. So if you notice that you are breaking promises to yourself, that's probably what you're doing with everything. You're breaking promises to your business. Right. You're breaking promises in relationships. You're breaking promises to everything. So start holding yourself accountable to things too, right? And I think as coaches, that's one of the things me and you have to do as well, right? Mm-hmm. Making sure that you hold that vision, like you said, which is so important, but also hold them accountable to that, right? Because, you know, sometimes we just break promises and mostly to ourselves more than anything else, right? So tell me about your program because I want to learn and those who are listening, I'm sure want to. So what does that look like, right, Monica? So if somebody's calling you, they want to work with you, they like what you're saying, what does that structure or them working with you look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I think about personal brand, and this is why I think every single person needs to have a personal brand, it's the digital, your digital currency these days, right? It's understanding like, who do you meet these days that you don't Google afterwards, right? If you maybe meet somebody on social media, you might go to Google and be like, all right, I want to learn more about them. Or you start listening to their podcast. Right. But people are searching for you. So what are they finding when they're searching for you? Mm-hmm. So part of it can be, does your online presence match your offline presence? Do you even have either of those two things? When you go to a networking event, are you introducing yourself in a way that is lining you up for the positions and the opportunities that you want to attract, not just where you are right now?
Yep.
Because if you're someone who, let's say they're a banker, but they have aspirations to move into, let's say, asset management, then don't necessarily introduce yourself as the banker. Introduce yourself as like the role that you want to have, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we start kind of working on those things? And then a lot of the work I do is public speaking. And so people will ask, well, how do you book gigs? And I will help people when it comes to booking gigs and pitching different people and crafting what that signature talk is going to look like so that people aren't scattered, because the world will ask you to create 50-11 different talks and you will be out here running through Canva. That Canva is going to be shutting down on you because you can't get these presentations out fast enough. And what I stay and said is, what are your signature talks going to be? We're not an expert in everything. So don't try to be the expert in everything.
That's right.
So let's narrow it down to your signature talks using your story, because your story is what's going to be so powerful. That's the differentiator. Right. You and I can both be given the same topic, Nina, and have completely different talks because of our experience. And so how can we lean into what your unique value is going to be? And I believe that's through the power of story. And then the last piece is it isn't just about getting the talk. It's about getting invited back. Mm-hmm. And that is the art of public mm-hmm. speaking. Anybody can sell themselves to get booked onto a stage. And I really believe you can. If you know how to sell even a little bit, you can convince someone to let you on the stage. But is your message going to resonate? Are you going to have impact? Will people remember you? Do you have a clear thread? Let's work on the art of public speaking and not just think about, oh, I want the money, I want the money, I want the money. The money is going to come if people really are impacted by you and then want to have you back.
Right. So when you're talking to your clients or talking to my audience right now about personal branding mm-hmm. and public speaking, so I'm assuming that you're encompassing all of that. So is the personal branding, like, I just want to make sure that I'm digging in a mm-hmm. little bit. So is the personal branding something that you're looking at when you're looking at their colors, their logos, how they show up online? Like, what do you mean by the personal branding piece?
Absolutely. So the personal brand, the way I look at it, is that intentional way that people know about who you are and what it is that you
do. There you go. Okay.
Right? So it's about identifying what do you want to be known for. And as much as, and like no shade to like the website builders and all of those things, but I think until you have a clear answer mm-hmm. on what you want to be known for and who you want to know you, I don't think you should invest in a website. I don't think you should invest Same. In a copywriter yes. because you're throwing mm-hmm. your money away. They're going to ask you questions and you're going to be like a deer in headlights and not have an answer to them. So the personal brand starts with the who you are. Yep. And then later you can connect to that. But I'll tell you this, I was booked last year for, I don't know, 35, 40 speaking engagements last year. And I had a landing page. I didn't have mm-hmm. a full-blown website at the time. Mm-hmm. I had a landing page because there's many ways to build your online reputation and your offline reputation, period, full stop, that don't require spending right. thousands of dollars on the website. And so it's really about understanding what your goals are. So if your goal is to get promoted, okay, what vehicles do we want to use for that? If it's to become a speaker, what vehicles do we want to use for that? So how do you want to be known? And then let's develop a strategy around that. And this is where all the years of marketing, I'm not a one-trick pony. There's a lot of ways we know how to market over here mm-hmm. on this side. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to help you do it in a way that feels in alignment to you. And yeah. if you don't feel aligned with one way, no problem. I have a whole bag of marketing tricks that we'll be able to use that feels right for you.
I love that, Monica, because I think one of the things, and maybe you went through this or people who are listening are going through this, is when you're working sometimes with some organizations and some companies that don't really want you to show up authentically as you, right? Like, it's a problem. That was actually a reason why I got terminated, because I said something online and the person said, you know, you hurt my feelings. I'm like, it wasn't even about you. But yeah, but it hurt my feelings. So you're off the team.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that makes no sense. You know, I'm like, just be honest and say the truth. Don't bullshit me. You know what I'm saying? Right. But let me tell you something, Monica, what happened was the freaking freedom to be congruent with who I am and right. how I think and what I want to say, and you not controlling that. So I think that's one of the things that happens, Monica. I don't know if you've run into that as well, but like, well, I can't say that because my job, or I can't say this because, you know, my boss, I can't say, you know what I'm saying? So sometimes, and I can't speak for everyone, but for some of those that I've spoken to, and for my own personal self, personal branding, I always showed up, but not 100% as me, you know, because I might ruffle some feathers, right? Do you go through that? Do you go through that with your clients?
Of course. And I think, to be completely honest, I don't think, especially in a corporate environment, like, it's really safe to show up 100% as yourself.
Yeah.
Like, so I wouldn't instruct someone to do that, but I still think that there's elements of yourself that can be leveraged in order to create more opportunities for yourself. So there is that balance of being able to show a little bit more of who you are. And I'll give a perfect example. When I was working in this one organization, I was surrounded by men. I was the only woman on the team. At the time, I was the youngest. I was certainly the only Latina that was there. And it was very hard to make any space with this group of men that I worked with. They all had a different background. They were engineers and mathematicians and all of that. And I remember I thought I had like all these different tools to try to build a relationship with them. And they were all about, no, you outside the club. We are not letting you inside the club. It's like, okay. And so what I realized, though, is I observing is that they would create these really incredible tools for like data science and marketing analytics and all of these tools. But when they would go to explain them to people, the stakeholders didn't know what they were talking about. And so the salespeople and the marketers would just kind of blink like, okay, cool, great. And like, I guess I'll clap for this, right? But what they didn't realize, they didn't know how to communicate it in a way that people wanted to use it because they didn't know what it really was to use. And so I was like, well, I understand what they're talking about and I understand what the stakeholders need. So I'm going to find my unique value proposition in translating between these two groups. Mm-hmm. And that is how I started to find my way of, I love story. I love messaging. I understand these two words. How can I simplify it so what the data scientists have created, the marketers and the salespeople want to actually use? And so I was like, I'm not going to wait for you to ask me to sit at the table anymore. I'm just going to figure out how to build something on my own.
Right.
And then that finally was like, oh, they were like, she has value. And that was the thought that they had about me. And I always knew I had value, but that was the way that I had to show it to them. And I think that same thing can happen at work. And that can be a way of showing up as yourself by saying, but this is what I'm good at. And so this is how I'm going to show you how it works for you. And even that little bit, Nina, can be freeing because it allows you to at least work in your zone of genius.
Yeah.
Even if you don't like the structure around you, at least the day-to-day becomes a little bit easier because you're actually leaning into your strengths as opposed to like this rigid box that they're asking of you.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love it. I love all this knowledge and wisdom you're dropping. And I know that people are picking it up because it's something that I think people really do have challenges with. And, you know, nowadays that the corporate world or the organizational world just looks different. It just does. It just looks different. It feels different. And I think more and more people, at least more and more people I'm speaking to, are all looking to find themselves in this place, you know? So I don't want to let you go though, before I let everybody know how to contact you and work with you, because I think you're absolutely amazing. I love what you put out there. I love who you are and how you show up. And so I want to make sure that they reach out to you. So give us that, Monica, before you try to jump out of here. Okay. Just tell us.
The time was too short. I could talk to you forever. But thank you for giving me the space and sharing the community with me. So you can find me at You Wanna Do What on Instagram. I do spend a lot of time on LinkedIn. So if you're a LinkedIn fan, you can find me under Monica M. Rivera. Now be warned, there's a lot of us out there. There's a lot of you at us running around LinkedIn, but just look for the picture that matches mine. It says personal brand and communication strategist, and that's how we should be able to link up. And then there's always my website, youwantodowhat.com, and it's another way for us to stay connected. But I do offer free discovery calls so that we can just learn whether or not this even is a fit for you. And if you have questions, this is like a great opportunity to ask those questions and see if it's the right fit. And if it's not a right fit between you and I, then I'll refer you to someone that could be a better fit.
Yeah. And that's usually the best. That's how you know that you are a professional and a great coach, right? Because you don't have to be the everything to everybody.
Yes.
You know who you can like get to that finish line and who maybe somebody else can help. I am the same exact way. Mm-hmm. And that's why I made this platform, because speaking to professionals like yourself, it's like, oh no, is Monica doing the same thing I do? No, you're not. You know what I'm saying? Right. But now I know, personal brand, Monica, I know where to send you. Hold on. You know what I'm saying? Right. That's what we're supposed to do. So Monica, thank you for hanging out with us and thank you for dropping the knowledge and all that great stuff. You are freaking awesome and I appreciate you. Thank you
so much. Thanks for having me.
So good. So good. Guys, make sure that you hang out and follow Monica. I'm going to link all of her information below. I want to make sure that you go ahead and, you know, book that discovery call. Like she said, if it's a good fit, it's a good fit. If it's not a good fit, we'll guide you to the place where it is a good fit. All right. But stop waiting. Don't think about it anymore. Don't try to make it up yourself. This is the problem that I have with a lot of clients, is that they have tried to, I'll go to this free webinar and I'll get that one thing and I'll do it myself. And then a year later, you're in the same position you were the year before. You know who I'm talking to. If it hurts, it's because it's you I'm talking to. Okay? Because you know I did it too, guys. I did it too. But make sure you like, share, subscribe, all that great stuff. You know the deal. All right. This is Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.